Hey, everybody, Jay Young Show here. Man, we're really excited today to see Jeff Krille, the creator of this whole entire universe we see here on the floor, seventh floor in Lincoln Center. Really excited about that. But, Jeff, let's start off with a joke. I heard a joke this week, and I don't want to get political on anybody, but
sure.
I did hear a joke about Joe Biden. Do you mind if I...
Okay. No, go ahead. This is your show. I'm the guest.
Normally, we flip the mic, but... Well, anyway, so Joe Biden walks into a bar, and he sits down. He's right next to a real beautiful woman. And he asks her, he says, hey, do I come here often? I thought that was a pretty good joke.
It's good. It's not It's not political.
Or you have the dentist joke as well. The dentist. What do dentists call their x-rays?
What's that?
Toothpicks. All right, here we go. All right, let's start off with the show here. This is about Jeff Krille.
We need a rim shot.
Yeah, I know. We need a drum. What, Jeff? You can't create a drum set.
We've got sound effects.
I know you do.
Probably put one in.
But you need to make sure we put that up there next time. But anyway, this is about Jeff Krille. And Jeff, thank you for coming on. I guess my show that's in your studio, right? Is that how we call this?
Yeah, and I got to tell you, it's weird to be the guest because I've got a show too, and it's you get in a rhythm where you get the host.
Right,
so it's
right.
Weird being the guest.
You don't change seats or
no?
Change mics? No. Anyway, let's just go on and let's talk about you real quick because man, this place has grown a lot. I think it's like 2019 or 19's when I came over.
Yep.
And did my first show and just kind of got to know you. You created this whole real news, and it really wasn't like it is today. Or you didn't envision this years ago. What did you start off with?
So my daughter, who's my vice president, shout out to Sarah, came up with this nutty idea 5 years ago. It's been 5 years since we started broadcasting. She said, Daddy, we need to get into podcasting. And I laughed at her, and I said, who listens to podcasts? And she said, my generation does, Dad. All those kids on the Katy Trail, they're listening to something, but it may not be music. I said, all right, here's my credit card. Don't go crazy. So, it's always dangerous when you give your credit card.
That's a lot of trust.
It's a lot of trust. She spent about $2,000 on mics like this and a board, but no fancy lighting. And I was really kind of pacifying her, ignoring her, because we're a traditional PR firm, and so I'm concentrating on the big stuff. Let's get people on Fox and CNN and the Wall Street Journal. And I'm just pacifying her. And I'm ignoring her little hobby, right?
Wow.
And so first month, if I had to guess, we may have had 5 clients in the podcast division. Second month, 10 clients in the podcast division. Third month, 15 clients in the podcast division. And that's when it got my attention. And I said to myself, wow, this is a thing. Like, instead of pleading with the media, please put our clients on the news, why not just become the news? Hmm. I mean, it's all about creating the environment of news. And so we've now spent $1.5 million on television studios. And my studios, I would put up against any of the local television stations. I think you'd have to go to, New York and Good Morning America to find fancier studios than the ones that we have. And we have really harnessed this idea that podcasting became super cool, mm-hmm. but everybody who is a host just wants to be the host. They don't want to edit and upload. So can you imagine, Jay? I mean, I think we're in the same age range. If I didn't have a production team editing and switching cameras and all that stuff, I wouldn't have a show, period.
Right.
Because that stuff drives me crazy. And I think that describes most people who decide to have a podcast.
Right.
Is, I love to talk to people, but please don't make me spend 3 hours at night editing and uploading and tagging. That's the boring stuff.
Right.
So we've gone, that nutty idea my daughter had 5 years ago. We now have 160 different television shows, including the Jay Young Show, which is my personal favorite.
There you go. You heard it right here. Don't tell anybody else. He probably tells that to
everybody. Well, I'll tell you what I love about Jay. Jay kind of shoots from the lip. Yeah, I mean, you have an idea of the questions you're going to ask, but it's not scripted. It's not tight and scripted.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can just kind of show up here and rock and roll with it impresses me.
Oh,
because
good.
Most people who came up through the traditional channels of television news, they probably learned it the wrong way, which is, really try to be, Joe Anchor or Jane Anchor and unless you have a gift for communicating with the camera, you can become fairly robotic.
Right.
And how many media people that you see on TV, do you feel like, do I know this person?
Right. But
with you, I know you. I mean, you started off with a couple of bad jokes. you laughed at your own jokes.
I do laugh at my own jokes.
I think
that's it, isn't that what you're supposed to do? If I don't laugh at my own jokes, sometimes nobody else does. Especially when I'm telling my wife a joke, she didn't laugh, but I feel like it's funny. But anyway. So, getting out my joke telling.
So we have now studios in Dallas, Fort Worth, Southlake Town Square, and Austin. And have you been to Austin yet?
I know you have the Capitol in the background.
It's beautiful.
I know that.
Yeah.
My buddy Nolan Ryan, I'd love to get him to
that
studio to get the Capitol in the back. Nolan's going to do a podcast
with
me really soon. And I'm going down there to see him in a couple of weeks. But anyway.
That's awesome.
I don't know if we're going to do a podcast or not, but when we do, I'd much rather, instead of doing it from his office, I'd much rather do it from that Capitol in the background. That is so awesome. Good for you, man. Good for you that you've been able to grow this.
Well,
how do you do that?
The secret is the team. You know, I made a decision several years ago. I love owning the company. I hate running the company.
And
so my daughter, I elevated into vice president. We have a head of operations, Josh Hart, and they kind of run the day-to-day, and they innovate, and we have amazing employees, as you know.
That's awesome.
And each one of them is...
I love them. And they're great people here.
Young Gen Z millennials that are hardworking, and they just like run through a wall to make the clients happy. And when you have a whole team like that, you can't help but have, you know, great content and great product.
Yeah. One of my favorite people, Jeff Crilly. I mean, to really see and go down a path and go, okay, I have all this money invested in real news and I'm going to make it. And I'm going to, cause I know you're a hard worker and
thank you.
I want to talk about what inspires and motivates you in a minute, but what going forward and all of a sudden your daughter comes in and goes, hey, let's change up everything. Cause I mean, you're still doing the news and still doing the media and all that stuff, which I appreciate. And I've got calls today from people that are calling me because of you.
Thank you. The
Jeff Crilly.
Thank you.
Call me because of him. But just to say, man, you stopped and said, I believe in the new generation. My daughter is going to, you know, oversee this. That's awesome, man. That is really good.
Thank you.
And then 160 different.
Yeah, so that's 160 different television shows, and then we have another 30 clients that pay us to get them on the news.
Yeah,
and so you know we have 190 clients on retainer, and the blessing to me, Jay, is I sleep like a baby. Hmm. And think about that. You know, you have a bunch of clients, and they all have your cell phone. I have a bunch of clients; they all have my cell phone.
I cry like a baby too, but that means I cry hard at night. I'm sorry. Is that not how a baby cries? You had different babies than I did, I guess. Mine cried all that long. That's kind of how I sleep at night, though.
Well, I sleep like a baby because we're attracting the right kinds of clients. Mm-hmm. I read a book a long time ago that said not everybody with a checkbook is a good client.
Mm-hmm.
And there's truth to that. I'm sure that you've taken on some investors in the past that you regretted and you might have had to fire an investor or two.
Yeah.
Same thing with me. As we've grown this thing over the past 15 years, I've become very clear. We know what we do well, and we know what we don't do well. And so just like Colonel Sanders, we just do chicken right. So we stay in our lane. And anytime somebody comes to us with an idea that's just a little bit outside of our lane, I've told the team, it's better not to take the money. Because I would not like to take the money and then get the disappointed phone call.
Right.
And so Josh, my head of operations, says, you think about, you know, an assembly line at Ford or something like that. They know how to make this model.
Right.
And they make this model over and over. And you say, okay, now we want you to make a Ferrari.
Right.
Well, no, the assembly line is not set up to do the Ferrari.
Right.
It's a completely different car.
Exactly.
Than a Ford truck. So we just keep the machine running, and I pride myself on being able to go on vacation. I had a vacation with my wife. It was the longest vacation we've had since we got married. 9 days away, we went to the Grand Caymans. Not a single phone call from the company.
Wow.
In 9 days.
Wow.
Because the team kind of prided itself on saying, you know, we don't, unless the place is burning down.
Right.
Jeff doesn't need to know, so let's. Right. And so I come back, and they just kind of report to me on what happened and what decisions they made. And I pride myself on not second guessing people and saying, "Why did you? You shouldn't have thought that way.
Right.
I say, you know, tell me the factors that went into that decision. And if there's a teachable moment, or we can explore, was there a different way to handle that? That becomes a conversation, but never a second guessing situation.
Oh, wow. That's good.
That's what I think a lot of bosses do poorly.
Well, a lot of trust. Thank you. A lot of trust in them.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's big, because you have a lot more experience in things that haven't worked. And so it's hard not to just run in there and throw them and go, hey, what's your biggest success and what's your biggest failure? Okay, I want both of them to run in, because I want you to, you know.
Biggest success is getting the team to the point where it is today. I call it a thank God it's Monday company. Jay, you've been here. I mean, there's laughter. We cater daily for our employees.
Yeah.
So what I really pride myself on is this attention to excellence, hiring the right team. And now the sweetest sound I hear all day long is during lunchtime, the team eats in another conference room and I eat in my conference room. The reason I do that is deliberately. I think the room changes when the boss sits down for lunch. Yeah. Suddenly the conversations are stiff.
Right. And,
okay. So the sweetest sound I hear all day is the team laughing.
Mm. During lunch.
During lunch.
You're sitting here and they're sitting over here and they're laughing.
And the doors are closed. So 20 yards away with two doors closed, I can hear laughter down the hallway. And if I'm entertaining somebody, I'll pause the meeting and say, I want you to hear that. Hmm. Most of these folks came from newsrooms. We didn't hear a lot of laughing in newsrooms. There was a lot of tears, but there wasn't a lot of laughter.
Wow.
So that's the greatest success. Greatest failure. I think the greatest failure was creating divisions that didn't quite work out. But a wise man said, you know, make small mistakes. Don't make huge mistakes. Don't like put it all on red in Vegas. And so, you know, at one point we had an entire web team. We had 5 people in the web department. Mm. And what I discovered was we were killing it on the media side. We were killing it on the podcast side. But then we would get complaints about the web department.
Mm.
And I'm a pleaser. You know, my love language is words of affirmation.
Right.
I want 190 parades every month, not 189. So the fact that we kept getting complaints about the web department, and then we started to look at it and we figured out, man, with all the effort that we're putting into it, we're not even making any money in the web department. So we just kind of blew it up.
Yeah.
We you know, if I can't do it with excellence, I'm just not going to do it. So
but that's a lot. I mean, to have the podcast and the podcast team and that's a whole business in itself. Not only the media, I'm trying to think of you being in the Caymans, right?
Yep.
I'm trying to think of you being in the Caymans, because man, you've got to be there and normally your day is how's business and what's going on with employees and how are we doing and clients and things of that nature. But it's also the news. Because the news is 24/7.
Yes.
You can't put that down and go, oh, yeah, I'm not going to pay attention to the news this week or something.
Well, you mentioned something earlier in the show. I get up every single morning at 5, you know this, and I begin my day and I write a daily email that now goes out to 28,000 journalists all over North America into London, England. And there's an open rate fluttering around 40%.
Wow.
Which is extremely high for a daily email. And so these journalists trust me, and I put you in there this morning, and you said I'm already starting to get requests. The journalists that have been reading me for years say, well, the last 50 people we booked from Crilly's Tip Sheet were good. Why wouldn't Jay be good?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to praise you. You do a great job. When I listen to your radio interviews, you don't talk like a stuffy Ivy League, you know, guy who read a bunch of books on oil. You talk like a Texas oil man. And that's what I...
So be myself. That's what you told me. You told me to be yourself, Jay. Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, fourth generation. I mean, just you... If I had to go to Hollywood and get central casting to find an actor to be the Texas oil man these days, the modern Texas oil man, I think they would choose a guy like you.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You've got this kind
of... I'd take my tie off and I'd put my cowboy hat on, you know, which I do have one, but I don't wear it very often. It's not my...
And Jay, if you've not seen Jay in person, he is a tall man. Normally, I have to have a cushion for my guest. I have a cushion for myself. How tall are you? Are you 6'4"?
I'm 6'4".
6'4". Yeah. That's amazing. You're a big guy. Yeah. And...
I had nothing to do with that.
I wish we had video of this. just before, I said, Jay, you look in shape. He says, watch this. I went down and he did 20 push-ups in the hallway.
I know. Well, you're supposed to. 25 push-ups a day, four times a day.
Yeah.
Get your muscles pumping. And it just makes sense. It makes, you know, so instead of.
I think you should start doing these interviews with short sleeves and say, my office is over there.
Yeah. I know. I do have some really short. My wife does not like it. Did you wash that shirt too many times? Or?
You're fine.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, is that your daughter's shirt or something? You know,
you shop in the boys' department.
Exactly. So let's get back a little bit. I've got a little bit more time.
Sure.
I've got a big rancher I'm supposed to be talking to right now about a big lease, and I'm really excited about that coming up on the other Jay Young part of the show or whatever. Sure. In our old business, which is awesome. I'm trying to think of all your successes, your failures, your things, and what inspires you? What
inspires me?
Yeah. What inspires or motivates you? Gets up every day, 5 o'clock every morning. I mean, what time do you go to bed?
I go to bed early. I'm like in bed by 9.
Are you? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I try to get
try to get 8 hours. Okay.
Yeah, try to get 8 hours. What motivates me is this idea that I'm growing this with my kids. And even I have a grandson, Caleb, he's 13 years old. And last summer, he would sit in at the reception desk. And I didn't witness this, but I was told this by others, that he would walk around from behind the reception desk, look you straight in the eye, give you a big firm handshake, and say, my name is Caleb Hill, future owner of this company.
Oh my God.
And you're a fourth generation. I mean, that was kind of an epiphany for me, because I think in the movie of my life that I had been writing, I figured, okay, sometime in my mid-60s, I'll go emeritus and show up, you know, occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me new life. I said, man, why would I miss this part of the movie? He's 13 right now.
Mm-hmm.
He won't be able to really work for us in earnest until his early 20s. So why not just stick around? I mean, I'll tell you a story from over the weekend. I was watching Jimmy Johnson on TV. You know, he's now a Fox commentator. And Jimmy Johnson. So I looked at him and I said, man, how old is Jimmy Johnson? So I Googled it. He's 80. He's 80.
Is he really?
He's 80, and he looks good, right?
He does.
He and Jerry are the same age. Did you know that?
Well, I didn't know that.
So it really impressed me. I was like, man, here he is at 80, still at the top of his game. He's, you know, one of the lead commentators at Fox. And he could easily have retired, you know, a couple of decades ago and sat on his boat his yacht.
Key West.
In Key West. And I think he has some restaurant interests and other things. But no, I mean, he's got fire in his belly, and I think it keeps you young.
Yeah.
I do think it keeps you young. And so every single day for the last 15 years, Christmas Day, New Year's Day, I've gotten up at 5 to begin my day, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege. If I ever catch myself, Jay, saying, I have to put out this email, I quickly kind of figuratively slap myself and say, no, you get to put out the email.
You have the opportunity.
I have the opportunity to influence all these journalists. And it keeps my mind really sharp, because from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. when I press send and send it out, I am putting together this very complicated crossword puzzle.
Right.
And so just as you have to work your body,
right,
as you do with the one-arm push-ups, I work my mind.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, that's good, because one of my next questions was talking about what's 5 years, 10 years, or whatever, and what's gonna. But you're saying I'm gonna build this to sustain the
build
business.
It. And I'd like to eventually roll out one of these in every major market. So right now we've got, you know, the Dallas-Fort Worth area and Austin, but Houston would be next. San Antonio would be next.
Right.
I think every major city needs
scaling this.
Yeah.
Podcast. News, is it just going to keep on news and podcasts?
Yep.
Pretty much. And
keep doing it and growing it. And you know, we're starting to get bigger and bigger clients now. And so it's hard work.
Taller than me. Bigger, taller than me.
Well, I don't think we do have anybody taller than you. You might have a new record.
So you're just looking to scale it with your people that you have internally, and just grow the business and say, hey, and so what's in Austin? What is there an office in Austin? If I went down there, is there a door with a Jeff Crilly?
There's a
real news.
There's a studio, and maybe we can put a video in over this when we edit it. But it's beautiful. It's got an unobstructed view of the Capitol. We're two blocks away from the Capitol, and there's nothing but green space, and they can't build a building between the Texas Bankers building and the, the state Capitol. So, so we, our landlord is the Texas Bankers Association, and they have a beautiful nine-story building two blocks from the Capitol. That could be your millionaire investor.
That's close.
Well, I'm flattered that here Jay is interviewing me. He could be making money because he's got these.
No, it's all about Jeff Grilley, man. This is about the Jeff Grilley show. So you have people, so you're just looking, and you'll put somebody in charge of the real news in Austin and say, okay, hey, we need to grow up the podcast. So their their job is to grow the podcast because it cash flows.
It cash flows handsomely. Well, and you're with the Capitol background. There's a lot of great opportunities in Austin. Government money, association money, tech money, music money. Right. So that whole scene, people who would never drive to Dallas to do a show would easily go to the Capitol to do a show.
Yeah. God, well, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And then you're doing it in Fort Worth and Austin, and you're going to go to Houston and just,
that's the idea.
Just expand it. And obviously, Oklahoma one of these days.
Yep. I'd love to have Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, that'd be great.
We've got South Lake Town Square, which is doing well for all of the folks in the mid-cities. And so, yeah.
So when I retire, I could come to work for you and start an Oklahoma City podcast. And all I have to do is just go out and find 50, 60 people to do a podcast in that studio every
week. I would be
week.
Honored. I'd be honored.
Man, that'd be awesome. No, I'm not going to retire anytime soon. I love the old business. I don't know what I'd do without it. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just a great.
It's in your blood.
It is. And this, right now is the best time.
This is a good time. Can we talk oil a little bit?
Sure.
11-month high for oil.
Yeah.
Okay. What is doing that,
Jim? Well, as I've been talking about for a long time, we're not drilling for oil in the United States like we were before. You know, these public companies, they were putting 90%. When oil prices went way up, 90% of their capital or profits would go back into drilling wells. Only 50% of it's going in there now. What does that mean? We're drilling less wells. If you drill less wells, you have less oil in the market. Less oil in the market means that prices are going to go up. It could go to 150. We've heard 200, 300.
Wow.
I mean, it could really go up a lot, which makes a lot of more projects that we have more feasible, or internal rate of return is better.
Yes.
It makes it more sense. You know, so that's what we're excited about, and what we're doing is oil prices are going to go up.
And your investors have to be so happy right now.
I mean, yeah.
That's, well, how much you think it could go to 150?
You know, it was almost there during Obama.
Yes.
I don't know if I'd put futures contracts and me put some money out of my pocket and put it on the futures, but I could see it going to 150, absolutely.
Yeah.
And which would be great for us. We're in like in my opinion, we're in a 2-3 year. So we have a fund right now that we're raising. I could get it in a year, 2 years to where we need to sell either all of it or half of it, and half of it give all the clients their money back, and then continue to drill because we've got some really, I mean, with Nolan Ryan, my buddy there, I was playing golf with him, and he said he has somebody that I've now become real good friends with that's calling me, and he's got 100,000 acres of land that he wants developed, and it's in a great area right next to where we're drilling right now. So it's like, man, that's the opportunity that we have, and I see for our legacy as a...
Well, and the other thing that people don't think about is the tax benefits. I mean, the way the law is written, you can't go wrong investing in oil because of the tax implications alone.
Right. It's like a 30% guaranteed return day one or at the end of the year because you write it off 80, 90% the first year, and because of your tax bracket.
Yeah.
We just say it's like a 30% first year, you know, return. Then it's my job to go out and find the prospects to get the other 70% back.
Yes.
And then a multiple on it. So that's and we do monthly income checks. We have checks going out. My wife was on the phone with our accounting department last night trying to finish up the revenue run so we can get that out. People like monthly revenue checks.
They do. And you have a great reputation in the industry. Everybody that I mentioned your name to says, I love Jay. So, thank you for continuing the legacy of your great company.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And maybe one of these days I can be on your show again.
I would love it.
You know what? Now, I have to mention this too, not to.
Yeah.
But you know, I brought Phil Romano over here long time ago, and that really Phil's a great guy.
He is.
He talked forever. I think he came on your show.
I love
it. And he was on your show, too.
Phil is such an inspirational guy. He just came out with the book, Mad Entrepreneur. Remember that? And Make a Difference.
Right.
M-A-D. But you did a great job interviewing him, and he has such a rich, you know, rich stories. You could have gotten 3 hours with
him. Oh, I know. Yeah. He's a great guy right now. I haven't seen him in a while, but I do see his son. I keep up with Phil. But what some of the people that we've interviewed.
Yes.
What great inspiration.
What a privilege.
Yeah. Man, and it's great. Instead of listening to, you know, Billy Bob sing some country western song
that
talks about, well, we won't go into that, but listen to a podcast that you can learn something. That's what I like.
All right, you're coming on my show, and I'm going to have to come up with some bad dad jokes just to top yours. You got a deal?
Man, you're awesome.
I appreciate you.
Hey.
God bless.
Jeff Crilly, everybody, right here.
You're amazing.
Thank you, everybody. We'll do the Jay Young Show again soon, and we'll do it in the Real News department. So thank you for coming here. We'll be back soon. Thank you.